Here we go. Ready, set, action.
Did you press the button?
Yeah, it's going.
Oh, it's you just been going ruined the intro. Time.
No, when I said ready, set, action.
Oh, okay.
It's a waste of a good 15 seconds.
Leave it in. Okay, are we ready?
It's literally still going.
Anyway.
For some great outtakes.
We're leaving this all in.
Welcome, everyone, to our last episode, at least for Eurovision 2018, of Star Spangled Eurovision. We are back from Portugal, still dead and sick and recovering, except for Alex, who is apparently healthy as something. I don't know. I'm out of metaphors. We're tired. Anyway.
I'm good.
Anyway, what did you guys think? Did you guys have fun in Portugal?
I mean, it was okay. How about you, Bart?
I'm eating my strawberry right now, but I had a very lovely time in Portugal. Although I got very, very sick, and now I'm still sick. as that
might
shows.
Pick that up real good.
Keep it in.
But yeah, Eurovision was like a mix of pride and like, I mean, actually, honestly, mostly just like a specialized version of pride, where everyone, it's like the pride in the World Cup, where everyone is like a lot of national pride, but is like almost all gay.
So,
and then it's like everyone's very friendly and like talking.
Well, okay, now I would say that the dynamic is a bunch of gay guys, and if you did see girls, then they went with their gay male friends.
Alex speaks from experience.
We literally met every woman that we met there had the same situation as Julia and I.
And you all had a great time.
It was like, who's your gay? Oh, it's like, oh, this is my gay. Who's yours? This is mine. It's like, take your gay to Portugal.
I mean, yeah, we were walking around Lisbon, and the entire time I was like, there's no way the city is this gay normally. And it was definitely because of Eurovision. But it was amazing. Staying up until 6:30 in the morning, dancing to Eurovision music at a gay club, ironically called Trump's. It's probably the highlight of like my life.
I mean,
honestly,
they called it Trump's. Ironically, I think it was just called Trump's,
which is ironic.
And, like, no, well, I think it's more coincidental now.
Okay. Just anyway, so let's get down to what we actually thought of the competition, and maybe let's start with the first semifinal. Who do we think should have made it? Who do we think shouldn't have made it? Are we happy with the result? Who was robbed? Thoughts?
Belarus was robbed.
Belarus.
Now we have to remember who was in the first semifinal.
Belarus was left behind, as they should have been. I mean, I think that we can mostly all agree on this podcast that we would have swapped in Belgium, which the people around us at the arena were very, very upset about at the time, as Alex has retold the story every day since then.
But you can tell it to our listeners if you'd like.
Well, no, there's just the guy who was wearing the Belgian flag as a cape, and as they announced the final winner of kind of that semifinal who was going to progress, I turned around and he just like screamed towards the couches where like all the singers and dancers were, he's like, Senek! And just like ran towards her with like just every emotion in his body just like shooting out of his being. And honestly, not gonna lie, I was not that emotional after the first semifinal, and that was probably the funniest thing I've seen in my life to date.
I mean, it was pretty good. And yeah, I mean, Belgium was definitely a crime that didn't make it through. I was also kind of sad that Switzerland didn't make it, just because their performance was really good from the actual arena where we were at the time. Honestly, looking back at their actual performance, the way it was filmed, it was not great. It didn't really capture the same energy, so I see why it didn't make it, but I kind of wish it did.
Yeah, I mean, I would have swapped in Belgium and Greece, personally, for Albania and Lithuania, because I still find Lithuania just, like, very boring. Although I do understand why the ones that I would put in were left out and why the ones that made it. So I'm not
See,
really
I actually thought that Albania, seeing it live, came off so much stronger than it did in kind of the pretext. And I understood why it advanced once I saw it live his voice is like so original. It's so strong. Like, even though I don't speak the language, I really felt the emotion in it. And I thought that he really did deserve to advance. But I agree with you that I would have also wished that Belgium would have made it forward.
No, I definitely agree. And being there, like, I get, like, why Lithuania, the performance came off well, and I get why Eugene Bouche-Pepa made it through, because his performance, especially in the arena, was, like, incredible.
Yeah, but he's an incredible vocalist, and, like, as much as Iceland's big thing was, like, its high note, and then Albania went right after and then blew it out of the water. So, it was, yeah, no, Eugene Bouche-Pepa's performance is honestly just breathtaking, so I fully support that he went through.
Oh, another sad moment was after the winners were announced and I looked over towards like where all the singers and dancers were. The Iceland guy was just waving the Icelandic flag like towards the audience and he was super upset.
Oh, poor Ari. He definitely cried.
Yeah, I was
my
really
heart broke for him. But his song was also the worst.
I mean, it was very sad, but he also, like, very deservedly got last place. So, if it had to be anyone, like, he'll survive.
Yeah. Did he get last place in, like, the whole competition? Like, did he get fewer points than the last place in the second semifinal, too?
Let me tell you.
And if you guys probably saw it.
Oh, Iceland dead last out of 43.
If you guys saw it, you're probably wondering, what was that whole magic trick with Belarus? And I'm telling you right now, with the rose where he catches it when she shoots it through a bow and arrow, that's real life, y'all. That's not like that's not movie magic. That actually happened.
Okay. I mean, it was like they took a shitty song and staged it. Like, they did a lot of good stuff with the staging. It wasn't enough to make it good, but
wait,
props
we still
for
talking
creativity.
About Belarus?
Yeah.
The staging wasn't good.
I thought
it was just
that was,
one woman dancing
around.
It was
creative. Like, they did a lot with what they had.
Oh, I felt like she felt super removed from the whole piece until she shot that arrow strategically into his arm, which,
I mean, that's fair.
Once again, like, that was all real life, y'all. That was insane.
Okay, so no huge shockers except for Belgium in the first semifinal. Second semifinal, a little more shocking. Poland did not make it through, even though we all thought they would. Russia did not make it through, even though none of us wanted it to. We all thought it was going to. RIP in peace, San Marino.
San Marino was so beautiful live. I don't think anyone listening will really understand the effect that that moment had on me.
Size doesn't matter sometimes.
Probably more important when I got to, like, sing along to it later, but, like, it was still a big moment. Actually, no, that was when I was still waiting to get into Eurovision Village, and I danced very obnoxiously to it in the security line, and no one else really understood why someone liked that song.
Remember
and that's
when
you knew they weren't gonna make it.
And we lost our shit.
Yes. Well, like, as a side note, the Netherlands' performance is still just super racist, so, like, I wouldn't have put that through, but I get why Europeans were probably confused.
I mean, well, the thing is, I don't know if it's, like, racist for the Dutch context, to be fair. Like, no, I'm sorry. It just doesn't come off the same, like, racism doesn't come off the same in Europe as it does in the United States.
I mean, in the sense
and
that
I don't
just, like,
think that people were looking at it and they were like, oh, yeah, this is hella racist, like, I'm gonna vote for it, like.
I don't think they voted for it because it's racist, but I think that, like, there are some very problematic racial undertones that, like, in my mind disqualified it for moving on, and clearly other people did not pick up on.
And this is the same country that brought you Spots of Pete.
No, I get that. But I'm just saying that, like, I don't think that people looked at it and saw the same racial undertones that you guys are seeing in it now.
Yeah. But it's still hella problematic and wish it didn't make it through. Everything else I'm, like, kind of satisfied with.
I'm really upset that Malta didn't make it.
But, like, who would you have subbed out for Malta other than
Norway?
Yeah, Norway.
I mean, yes, let's sub out the one that literally won the entire semifinal for a random song that you happen to like.
Yes, actually.
I mean, I really hoped Norway wouldn't make it, but there was no way it wasn't going to. So,
I mean, other than San Marino, I was really pulling for Latvia because Laura Rizzotto gave this really heartwarming story on the blue carpet about how she got friend-zoned once.
And that's
that
what
was
the
basis
was
of the song.
We all really connected to it.
Which, like, I still don't get how anyone friend-zoned her because she's, like, a model gorgeous. But, like, I'm glad that she had, like, a sad experience that she turned into a positive outcome.
And then didn't make it past the semifinal. Very sad. But
she made it past the semifinal in all of our hearts.
Yes.
Fair. And everyone else who didn't make it definitely deserved not to make it. Romania, garbage. Georgia, boring. Montenegro, pretty but boring.
Yeah.
I'm still kind of shocked that Poland didn't make it. Not that I thought it should have, but I'm still shocked it didn't.
I thought it would too. I would honestly swap out Poland for Slovenia, but other than that,
Now I'm so addicted to the Slovenian song, and I kept telling my family when I went back home, I was like, they're like, Alex, like, do you want this? I'm like, Palone, like, no thank you. Isn't it? It's like, no thanks.
Yeah.
Is it? Yeah.
This fake out on it, like, this fake blackout, though, honestly just, like, makes me very uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah,
like, it goes on a little bit too long. The acting is, like, bad, but still feels real. So you just kind of spend, like, 10 seconds being like, oh, no, and then, like, the music comes back, but it's never, like, oh, yay, the music's back. It's like, oh, my God, they just really fucked all of that up.
And like, we, like, really were convinced that that actually happened during the jury show, and then we saw it happen in the live second semifinal.
I honestly believe
that. We're like, oh, fuck, this is all fake, and everything is a lie, and how stupid.
Her acting's telling it, though. Like, I kind of thought that it just happened again. I was like, oh my God, they had someone who's taken an issue with Slovenia. Justice.
Alrighty then. Well, those are the semifinals, and we, like, mostly agree with who made it through. Apparently, Alex is still very upset about Malta. Our friend Yulia was too.
I mean, no, I just thought it was a really good song, and I thought that their staging was absolutely impeccable, and
they cheated! They brought their own LED screen!
Okay,
so,
anyways, though,
like,
moving, like, we need to move past Malta.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
It's very
I'm just saying, Malta,
in the scheme of things.
Malta, like, I remember you, okay? There, we can move on now. It's
you
cool.
Broke the taboo, Christabel.
Okay, grand final.
Okay, so I'm gonna just real quick get into this. Fuck you, jury. Fuck you so hard, okay? The people made their vote. Denmark was awesome. I can't believe you didn't give them any points. Like, I'm sorry. Just suck it. The people liked it. That's all that matters.
Okay, but can
that's
we also
all I have
say,
to say about the grand final.
Can we also say fuck the people who are like, Jessica Malvoy, 9 points?
Yeah, I really can't get behind the televote when they like dicked over the queen of our life, Jessica Malvoy. Like, she is a goddess. She is fun, flirty, and thriving. And even if no one recognized it, I love you, Jessica.
Jessica, I love you too.
Jam.
I have this really great picture of you coming down the stairs. Oh, that's creepy. Never mind.
I mean, in context, it wasn't creepy, but the way you said it, not great.
I think we're all kind of, like, fine with Israel's Toy winning by Netta. I still think the song's a little gimmicky. Honestly, I was actually in New York this past weekend after Lisbon, and it was, like, blasting out of a gay club one night at midnight
wait,
as I was walking by.
That's so exciting.
But see, I was kind of like, oh, yeah, cool, that's the Eurovision winner. Like, if Cyprus was playing in that gay bar, like, I would have ran in there and be, like, on the dance floor dancing. Because it was, like, Toy, I was kind of like, oh, that won Eurovision. I'm going to go to bed because I'm still tired and sick from last weekend.
Now, do we think that because it was the favorite to win for so long and we got tired of it?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think
yeah.
That too.
I mean, I was never that crazy about the song. I think that definitely does play a factor.
But we were, I mean, we were all, when it started leaning towards Cyprus kind of near the end, we were like all freaking out about that. And that's when we put a lot of emphasis on that song.
That's true.
Whereas when we, even if you go back to our previous podcast, like, we liked it as the end to the semifinal, but we never considered it a winner.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Yeah, but that's because we didn't see the staging until there. And I feel like there was, like, being in Lisbon for the week of Eurovision, there was, like, a kind of magic around Cyprus and Eleni Ferreira, because, like, the staging had just come out, and I was obsessed with it, and in every club it played, like...
You were just ready to go straight for
it. It was, like, the hit of the gay clubs, and I would go straight for Eleni.
And it was a city full of gay men who... can't resist a diva, and we all lost our shit when we saw the staging.
And Toy was good, but the staging was, like, a little bit weirdly orientalist still, which I still don't really get. And, like, it was good, and, like, the dancers were great, but, like, it just, like, it wasn't, didn't feel as elevated, and I don't know. It just wasn't my favorite.
So I have a theory about Israel's, quote-unquote, cultural appropriation. And so, apparently, baka in Japanese means stupid. So when she goes, like, baka baka boom, boy... like, it's like stupid boy all over again, and the little Japanese kitties are waving bye, like, I'm not your toy, and they're toys. Like, get it?
Okay, like, I get it a little bit more.
And also, she loves Japanese culture.
Doesn't seem like she... Maybe. Yeah, it's possible. I have no idea. So, intern Sarah is back, and she got promoted for staying in D.C. this entire time and watching the fort. What are your thoughts?
I mean, my thoughts when you guys, like, kind of breeze past, like, Netherlands, like, my issue with the Netherlands wasn't necessarily, like, the racist thing, but just, like, I think that one, like, really stood out to me. Just, it's so bizarre to, like, watch Europeans, like, completely try to, like, take on an American, like, in a way, they, like, nailed it. Like, that song could be on any country radio station right now, but it was very, very weird.
But also, like, why were there break dancers to a country song?
Oh, yeah, that bothered me.
That was,
like, yeah,
wrong.
I feel like it is, I mean, like, I admit, like I'm sure Europeans don't think about it all, because it's very much, like, superimposing American, like, racial relations on something else. But, like, seeing, like, they're African-American black dancers, like, crunking to, like, a country song.
Well, so they weren't African-American, though, were they?
They were black, but they're clearly not American.
No, like, they're Dutch, or, like...
Not necessarily.
What is the assumption that all black people are American?
Bulgaria imported black Americans.
Yeah, but that's, like... different, like they were.
Yeah, I mean,
singing.
No, we don't know that they're American.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't make
still,
that assumption.
I would say it still felt like an American hip hop style of dance, like not like a Dutch style of dance. Like, I mean, I don't know what the urban Dutch scene is like, but it very much. I mean, it was
I don't know. I mean, anyway. I spoke to a number of people there because Julia and I also had like a long discussion about it, and we ended up just asking people in the crowd like, do you find this disturbing? And we asked, like, Dutch people, but also a couple of people from, like, other Northern European countries. And they're like, I mean, it's not a big... like, no one else had that cringeworthy factor, which just makes me wonder, maybe that's just an American perception of it. Yeah. Whereas they're not thinking with an American audience in mind. So they're not thinking, like, oh, this is going to look really wrong if an American sees it. Because if Europeans see it and they don't have a problem, then...
Yeah, but it sort of kind of feels like they're ripping off American culture.
No, no, yeah, the song
American
is ripping off American
music
culture.
And then superimposing, like, a totally
yeah.
different type of American dance.
I mean, like, I'm not... I agree with that. And the fact that they're talking about, like walking around with loaded guns, I'm like, are you even allowed to do that in the Netherlands? Like, I don't think so. So how would you know what that's like?
Well, what should they come in? Like,
18.
Yeah, so it's not like anyone really... like them that much anyway. Mm-hmm. Very middling score.
They did a lot better with the jury than with the televote, which
that's
is kind
true.
Of interesting.
Yeah. Speaking of jury votes and televotes, let's talk about Austria, who were by far the jury favorites, but not that great in the televote. What
okay.
do you think that's about?
So I, you know, loved Austria from the start. I'm a little upset that he didn't, like, as a social worker, he didn't bring out all the children that he helped and, like, made this really kind of social awareness thing. Instead, he was just kind of singing on a platform and being kind of corny. He's very good at singing. It was a good performance, but since I had already set up the staging in my mind, I was kind of disappointed. Thank you.
And that's why they didn't get the popular vote?
Yeah, that's why they didn't get the popular
vote. I mean, I understand why the jury's scored it so high. Like, it is a very well-written song. And, like, the juries will vote for things, like, that they would write too, which is also why Sweden, I think, did so well with the juries, whereas, like, it did so badly with the popular vote, because it is literally just another Swedish pop song that everyone hears every day, especially in Europe.
So then, how do you explain?
I thought it was kind of like.
How do you explain Denmark not doing well in the jury? Because that song was also very, very well written, and the jury just shit all over it.
Well, see, I don't know how well written that song was, but the performance was extremely memorable and super epic, and so I feel like that's what stuck in voters' minds, and that's why they voted for it. Whereas, like, Sweden was, you know, Sweden. Like, it's a generic Swedish pop song with, like, I thought pretty memorable staging, so I thought it deserved more votes for the popular vote.
I mean, some of it is also about what comes across to, like, viewers. So, like, me watching it at home on a TV, not in the audience, like, a lot of these performances just, like, were not, I think, as inspiring watching them, like, on screen versus being there in person.
Were you not inspired by the Vikings?
No.
Oh, that's, I'm really hurt right now.
Just no.
Ouch.
I mean, I love that performance. I thought it was pretty dope.
Like, it wasn't bad, but I don't think it had the energy that it had for you guys being there.
But I mean, like, even for the final, like, we weren't in the arena. We were watching it from the main square in Lisbon.
Like, yeah, okay, but like,
different vibe.
Different
but
from,
so.
Like, Sarah's bedroom alone.
Okay, I was not watching it alone, thank you.
To be fair, I will say, like, most people who were in the crowd were, like, either Nordic, Spanish, or Portuguese.
That's so true.
So, like, yeah, there's gonna be all the vibes for the Nordic countries, because those are the ones who can, like, afford to just be like, screw it, we're going to Lisbon.
Yeah, I will say I was, like, really afraid that Spain would do really well, because yeah. We still hate their song, and the city was overrun by Spaniards. And then kind of feeling the, like, deflation of the crowd when it got, like, 4 from last.
It kind of felt, like, really good.
Satisfying.
Total Schadenfreude.
But at the same time, beautiful. I just kind of wanted to cry when, like, I get it, it's Australia, but, you know, it's not Jessica Mauboy's fault that
agreed.
She's Australian.
And do you think people are just tired of Australia? Like, has the novelty worn off that they're in Eurovision, or...
I mean, I think Yulia kind of pointed this out, and she's like, well, you guys are infatuated with her, but you've also just been in this for a while, and for people just watching, it's just that stereotypical pop song, and there really isn't that magic, and I'm like, I can't internalize that because I love her so much, but I get how other people might see that.
Yeah.
Jessica, other people are not me, okay? I love you, girl.
I do get that, but I was surprised. I feel like for the past 3 years, like, it's always been very, like, Australia just does well because people find it novel. And I guess now it's, like, not going to get those votes just because.
Yeah, so they actually have to try it instead of just being Australia, which is fine. Italy was another one with a huge discrepancy in popular versus jury votes.
It's just like all my songs.
Yeah.
All my songs, the jury just shat all over, and then the popular vote was like, no, they're great.
I mean, I loved Italy's performance. I love their song. Like, I'm glad they got a lot of the popular vote and, like, enough to make it to fifth place, even though they came, like, very low with the juries. But why do you guys think the juries score them so low?
I mean, I think that the jury is full of talentless hacks, personally, but...
Yeah, I don't know. I really would want... I do kind of wonder what connected with the audiences so much. If it was just, like, the different languages on the screen that people connected to, or if it was, like, honestly, the fact that it was the last song before the televoting, and therefore was, like, a very, like, strong way to close the show. Because, I don't know, I like the song, but I definitely didn't think it would be, like, that high up in the televote ratings.
I mean, it's also just, like, a really strong and impactful song that particularly just applies to the situation in, you know, in Europe right now. Like, that's probably something that they're faced with often.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, I could see why it would be impactful. And I think that, yeah, they showed a lot of different languages on the screen, but many Europeans are multilingual anyway, so they probably got more out of the song than... For example, France, who just had their plane staging in French that didn't go as far.
It's kind of sad that France didn't make it further, but I understand that, like, that message didn't come through. And we kind of predicted as much that unless they had some really impeccable staging, that it, no one would really get it.
They
seems
said
to be
they
the
had
case.
French staging.
They had very French staging. I thought Estonia would have done better with the juries, honestly. That's my last real note. I thought Estonia was going to do better. I'm so happy Moldova made it into the top 10. They were so cute. Their staging really was adorable.
Mm-hmm. They did have great staging.
Yeah, no, I don't know why she didn't make it farther. Estonia.
Yeah.
Moldova made it as far as they were allowed to make it with that kind of song, but it was super cute, and I liked it.
And so next year, we're going to have Eurovision be in Jerusalem, and it has been confirmed that it will be in Jerusalem, not Tel Aviv, which is an interesting political decision.
Yeah, I feel like we just really shouldn't get into that.
Yeah, that's...
Fair, now is not the time. We'll get there next year and talk about the politics behind that. Should be fun.
Honestly, can we just stick to the music next time? I don't really want to get into the whole Israel-Palestine thing on a podcast.
Okay, fair. Okay. It's a dark topic. Yeah. And Eurovision, this is a happy contest.
Congratulations, Netta.
Honestly, a deserved winner, even though Cyprus should have won.
Yes, I agree with that. Sarah, good job, Netta. We're happy for you.
On that note, all aboard. I wonder what the theme is going to... No, let's not get into that.
Let's just not talk about Jerusalem 2019. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. We got a huge uptick in views around Eurovision Week. And so thank you for everyone from all these random countries who I don't know how you found
out. Don't insult our listeners like that. Thank you to our listeners in many valuable European countries. And we adore and cherish all of you.
Don't listen to Max with his American imperialism.
And if you were curious about our adventures in Lisbon, you can see all of our photos on Instagram, at Star Spangled Eurovision. Our Twitter, which I have not been updating, at SSE_pod. Follow us on Facebook for all your latest Star Spangled Eurovision news and maybe new episodes. We still haven't really decided what we're doing after this yet. Facebook.com/Star Spangled Eurovision. Eventually, we will be on Apple Podcasts. We're going to make it work.
Someday.
One day.
Anyway, thank you again. And yeah, we'll keep you updated as to what's going to go on with season 2 of Star Spangled Eurovision. And we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.